Welcome to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Hiles. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about strategies to support English learners with our guest, Joe Unruh. But before we begin with the questioning, I'd like to take a moment to share a little bit about today's guest. Joe Unruh has been teaching for about 2.5 decades in bilingual elementary education in the state of Texas. He's taught grades pre-K, second, third, fourth, and fifth grades. He's also worn many other hats outside of his own classroom, such as newcomer teacher, language development specialist, language development coach, just to name a few. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
All right. Would you like to take a moment to share with our audience your educational journey?
Sure. Like you said, I've been around elementary education, bilingual elementary education for quite a while, all in the state of Texas. And, you know, like you're saying, I've done plenty of things, had a lot of labels stuck on me with different names, but it all comes down to helping teachers and kids meet their EL or EB, whatever yeah. you call it in your state, what their students needs in that capacity.
All right. And I take it you're still actively in the classrooms now as we speak.
Yes. Okay. Believe it or not, I still am.
Okay. That's awesome.
I still am working in that, in that little niche. And at the same time, I'm trying to branch out and start my own thing also.
All right. Outstanding. Okay. Well, you know, I'd like to lead off, Joe, if I can. How do you best help EL students when there are so many different levels out there, you know? How do you do that?
Yeah. I guess the answer would be it depends. It depends where you are and who you're serving. In some places, you will find in one classroom, the levels are so varied, from beginner to intermediate to advanced high, from coming in zero to having kids who are, they speak English like a native speaker. So it all depends where you are. So you may be in a situation that is more challenging or less challenging, but, the best way, I think, to go about that is, first of all, know where your kids are, where your students are, what level are they? And I'm speaking basically for language arts.
Yeah.
For language arts wise right now, is finding out where they are, which means you need to have some way to assess what reading level, like are they at the beginning of kindergarten? Are they middle of first grade? Are they into third grade? You need to find out where they are. That is the absolute most important thing, because once you know that, then you can get your groups and you can meet them. excuse me. Mm-hmm. You can meet them exactly where they are, and work your teacher table and have your small groups. And in my experience, that is the absolute most effective, most fruitful way to go about it. And the sooner you can start that, the better.
All right. Well, that's great. You know, because I've had the whole gamut too, from students coming into the room that didn't speak a lick of English. You know what I mean? And then of course I've had, like you said, people that are children who are fairly good at the English language. You know, so absolutely. So let me ask you this then, to kind of piggyback off what you just said. What differentiation? Techniques have worked best for you?
Sure. Like I said before, I would do that in the small groups.
Okay.
With your small groups, that is, I say it all the time, that is your golden time, where you can't compare your time in small group to whole group.
That's right.
When you have a classroom with such a wide variety of levels, it's almost like you're wasting your time with whole group. And the best way to differentiate, in my opinion, is to master those small groups, your teacher table. That's your most productive time.
Well, let me ask you this. If you were to tell a first-year teacher. What is the maximum number of ELL children that you can put in a group? What's your take on that?
Well, my opinion, the less the better. So I would keep it to four or less.
All right.
You know, some people, some districts will say, you know, a small group is six, but that,
you know, you think six is too many?
Stop being a small group and other things happen. So I would say four or less.
Okay. All right.
If possible.
All righty. What can one do to improve the student discourse with your EL students?
Yeah. That is excuse me. That is really important. Because that's also the big challenge too.
Yeah.
Especially if you're dealing with newcomers, you know, how do I get them talking? How do I get them over that learning curve ASAP? That's a huge challenge, I think, for so many, or at least I would think probably all levels, right? But my world is elementary, so I can't speak for, you know, middle or high school. One great way, I think, is to go for little wins, you know, like baby steps. Okay. Maybe it's when you're greeting a student at the door. Maybe they say hi to you.
In English. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Or maybe, you know, they give you a high five. Wow. You know, go for little wins and use what I call M&Ms, which is motivation and momentum.
Mm-hmm.
When you have those little wins, then you're building motivation and momentum. And those are two of your biggest weapons. If you're a beginning teacher or if you've been teacher for a long time, those are two of your biggest weapons when you're dealing with kids who are trying to acquire the English language.
Yeah, I would think that'd be very powerful strategy. Well, now, let me ask you this, Joel. What strategies help build the vocabulary and academic language for English learners?
Sure. One way is, you know, probably everybody uses it. It's very well known. Mm-hmm. It's a typographic organizer. Some people use the fancy term Frayer model.
Yeah.
Really, it's just a graphic organizer where it's gonna have your vocabulary word in the middle, and then you have different areas around, whether it be the definition or a picture or a synonym or antonym, or use it in a sentence or show me an example or non-example. You know, there's lots of different ways to go about it. That's one way.
Mm-hmm.
Another way I would say would be like like an anchor chart, or, you know, the famous word wall. famous word wall, right? Could be academic word wall, but those are huge when you can attach a picture. And it sounds dumb and way too simple, but when you can attach a picture, really, a picture is, you know, like the old saying,
a picture is a thousand words.
I can tell you how effective that is. And some of the best, absolute best, most useful, like academic word walls, or, you know, or a wall for your anchor charts, whatever, have been that have attached maybe a real item, or a picture, and that makes it so useful and is not a waste of space.
Okay. Yeah. I used to go ahead and take these little pictures and put like a picture of a door and then put that on the door or a doorknob and just have these all around the room. You know, so I mean, very powerful, like you say. They really like that. Well, let me ask you, so what tools or routines could you use daily to reinforce vocabulary?
Okay. Mm-hmm. One free online source. Maybe some have not heard about it. It's like a free online library that a classroom teacher can sign up for and have access to it during the school hours. And it's called getepic.com.
Okay.
So all they got to do is go on there, getepic.com, and they can sign up and put their kids on there. And it's a wonderful tool. What they can do is they have choices. They can choose a book in English. They can choose a book in Spanish. They can choose the actual level of the text that they want that particular student to have, which is a great option when you're talking about all these, you know, what we've been saying, all these different levels. It's great for building that background knowledge also, which really helps kind of prepare for the academic vocabulary. It, like, you know, for example, if they know they're going to be teaching, the classroom teacher is going to be teaching a certain concept, you know, the next week, well, the week before, they could get on getepic.com, assign a couple of titles that have to do with that. And then the students already come in feeling a lot more comfortable, a lot more ready to handle any academic vocab that's coming their way.
Okay, that is great. That is a great resource. So getepic.com. Okay.
The Teacher Rockstar Academy course is meticulously designed to equip you with the tools and strategies needed to skyrocket your effectiveness as a teacher. Curious to know if the Teacher Rockstar Academy course is the missing piece in your teaching journey? If you're ready to reclaim control of your classroom and witness the incredible impact on your students, then use the link in the podcast description to learn more about this program.
Well, let me ask you this, Joel. How can one create an inclusive classroom routines that support our, you know, ELL students' participation, right, you know, in the class?
Yes. Like we said before, anytime you can attach a picture to whatever it is that you're doing, it's extremely, extremely valuable. Another way of helping with routines, or just that, you know, just that talking per se, is having a poster somewhere in your room that that some people call, like, instead of saying "I don't know," and then, you know, you have different options. You know, like, okay, can you repeat that question? May I ask a friend? You know, but you know, you give them four or five options where there is no option to say "I don't know." There's no option to give up, but you can look at that poster and you can try to. Try to read that for me and spit out the words. If you're dealing with ELs, then that is, to me, that's one of the most important things. Is I don't care if you say it right or if you say it wrong, but I want to hear you say something.
Yeah, that's right.
I will celebrate the heck out of that. and next time you're going to do it better. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now tell me something, Joel, where in your current routines could you add language scaffolds? I mean, you mentioned, you know, the getepic.com and as one. Some other things. How about books on tape?
I don't know if anybody uses books on tape. That may be way back in the day, but that's possible.
Books on CD.
Yeah, possible.
Yeah,
I would think that that probably one of the better ways would be to use some of the resources that they would have, you know, whether it be getepic.com or some of their regular resources that they probably have through the district, where they have a way or access to a leveled type of text, and they can just assign it or make it available to the kids. To cover that, that's the easiest way. And if you're just talking about, you know, like procedures, like, you know, like Harry Wong schools procedures, if you're talking about that, then one of the best ways is with a picture.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, and actually being extremely to the point, obvious, you know, if you have to get to use hand signals, you got a point.
Yeah.
You know, okay, you say it after me, whatever. However, you can get that across in a simple, super duper easy way. Then they'll pick up. They'll pick up on it.
All right. Well, what role does peer collaboration play in improving outcomes for English learners?
Oh my goodness, that is huge, and it's huge in a negative way. No, it can be positive and negative, right? Because if they're if they're doing partner work and they have a bad experience, they got a nasty partner.
Yeah,
and they're gonna be like, not doing that again, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So in that sense, it can be a negative, but in the positive, it can also be just as powerful in a positive way, where you actually get that interaction that you want, and you want to make it as you know, some people would call it like a structured conversation, but I tend to think of it as purposeful. But whatever I'm doing has a purpose, has a motive behind it. And so if my motive or my purpose is I want these two guys to be talking to each other, then I want to make that as structured as possible. So maybe I'm going to put up a sentence stem where it's like a a sentence that maybe has blanks, or it could be a couple with, you know, different blanks. And depending on the levels that you're working with, you know, you let them put in more, or you let them put in less. And if you want to make it as painless as possible, then you as the teacher, you model it. You know, for example, if you're just a simple example, if you're teaching them, you know, how to introduce themselves to somebody, then okay, then here's what we're going to do. I'm going to be partner A, whatever. Say, hi, my name is Joel. What is your name? And then you go to, okay, so I'm going to say that. Now you're going to say, hi, Joel. My name is blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It's nice to meet you. And you practice that a couple times with the students. Mm-hmm. And then you call on one brave soul. And now that they've all had a chance to hear you, to repeat, okay, now they're very comfortable, and it's going to be a lot easier to get that participation that you want.
All right. Okay. That is fantastic. Well, let me ask you, you know, what, Joel, if you had to say just one thing about in terms of your biggest takeaway to our audience, what would that be?
Oh, boy.
I know there's a lot of them.
Okay. Well, I probably would say two. I would say one is you're just one skill away from, and then you fill in the blank. Okay. Could be one skill away from making your teaching life extremely easier. Mm-hmm. One skill away from giving you less headaches. You fill in the blank.
Okay.
But the second thing also, and it was one mistake that I made at the beginning, is I did not look for a mentor. I did not look for a good mentor. And so I would highly suggest that where you are on your campus, just keep your eyes open, keep your ears open. Mm-hmm. And who you are noticing that is just killing it, then reach out to that person. Don't be afraid and reach out to them and just be straight to the point. You know, hey, I'm new. I want to learn. I got a lot to learn. Would you be willing to meet with me and help me out a bit? You know, and okay, you'd be surprised what would happen.
Okay, fantastic. Can I piggyback off that
sure,
thing?
Sure.
What would you tell a first-year teacher just stepping into the classroom for the first time to kind of help jumpstart them in terms of, you know, teaching ELL students? Just one, sure, you know, what would you tell them?
Yeah, I would say number one, you have got to be the person that makes your little space there very comfortable, mm-hmm, very safe, where you make it obvious that it's okay with you, that mistakes are made,
yeah,
and that you want those mistakes, because that's how we learn when you're working with the ELs. Another, I've already said, is if you want to be extremely effective, you have to know exactly what level your kids are reading at exactly. And the only way to find that out is doing some type of assessment.
Yeah.
And if you can find that out, then you are going to be miles ahead, okay, of everybody else.
All right. Thank you for that. And I have to ask you, how can folks connect with you, Joel, if they want to learn more about what you do?
Sure, and sure. You can find me on YouTube. I'm on a channel called Effective Educational Consulting. Mm-hmm. Or you can reach out to me by email. Same thing, effectiveeducationalconsulting@gmail.com. If you have any questions, if I'm able, and I may not be able to, I don't have, you know, 24 hours every day, yeah, but if I'm able, you know, I'll be happy to answer them. And also I'm going to send Steve a link, with a couple free tools for you. So, I hope they will help you out. And that's what it's about, to help you, my teacher friend, to make your life easier and hopefully to bring some joy back into your classroom.
Okay. That's going to be awesome. I'm sure they will appreciate that. Thanks, Joel. Well, again, Joel, I want to thank you so much for taking time out. Okay. I know you got busy schedule there. But thank you for coming on board. We really appreciate having you. Thank you.
Yes. Well, thank you. I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Well, my friend, we have come to the end of today's episode. And if you would, post your biggest takeaway in the comments below. I'd love to read them. We read everything that comes in. And having said that, we will see you same time, same place next week. And remember, my friend, you got this.
You've been listening to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast with your host, Steve Hiles. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast as much as we have. Make sure to hit that subscribe button and join our ever-growing community of Teacher Rockstars. Until then, thanks for listening.